News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, it's a good morning. I hear people yelling all over the place.
Jeez, I wonder who that is.
It's a morning matter here on the History Show. Why the heck not? It's El Paso History. And you know what? We keep saying this. Texas history begins here.
That's right.
It do,
and it ain't ending.
It did.
We got so much more to tell.
Well, there's a lot going on here. I can tell you there's some interesting stuff we're going to get into today. Going to be all kinds of fun about the mountain known as Mount Cristore. Get to that in a second. In just a second, we'll get to that because we got things to tell you right now. We're going to have a trivia today. 690 a.m. is where we are. Pick one of those subjects.
Yes, and we're going to be giving away a wonderful gift certificate from Pepe's Mexican Food up in Canutillo. And it's one new Mexican food, excuse me. And you'll also have a choice of a DVD. So we got some great trivia questions.
Well, start with the DVDs because I brought in one I should have brought in last week. But the very top, look at that.
See, El Paso's Mount Cristo Rey.
What
ironic.
Surprise of what it is today.
Ghost Stories Volume 2, MacGuffin Home, Gunfight Seal West, the best one.
All kinds of stuff.
Tom Lee, let's see, El Paso Gold. Well, all kinds of stuff.
There's some duplicates in there because I think the ghost videos, people need to get into that. I mean, we're not trying to scare you with ghost videos. We're trying to inform you.
But it's a good weekend to be scared by videos, and they need to get your videos because it's Halloween weekend and Dia de los Muertos weekend.
But if scaring is your goal, then go sit down in the middle of the freeway. You know, it won't take long.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that'd be real scary for about 2 seconds. But the thing, you mentioned by the Concordia event tonight, 2 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we're going
to
get into
2
that.
2 to 8 p.m.,
we'll
right,
talk about that.
Concordia Cemetery at 3700 Yandell Street. We're going to have the Dia de los Muertos Festival. We'll have vendors, music, entertainment, all kinds of great things going on, altars set up like they used to. A lot of families are out there today cleaning up their family graves. We're going to have one right inside the gate as you come in. I'll be working the entrance gate, and we'll be all Dia de los Muertos. In fact, I picked up Katrina this morning.
Katrina,
the queen of Dia de los Muertos. She's sitting in my front seat of my car.
I'm not sure I want to know about that. But you're going to do face painting, right?
Yeah, somebody is. Yes, I think so. But everything's pretty much geared towards Dia de los Muertos, and we're the only festival of our kind in El Paso. So come and visit us, and you help Concordia Cemetery.
Well, I guess we talked about it then, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
There we are. So that's tonight. Get out there and see what you can see. Okay, we're going to do some history today that is inherent in El Paso. Anybody who's in El Paso was probably here since this occurred. A couple old-timers maybe back before Mount Cristo Rey was built. And I mean, the mountain didn't have to be built. But the Cristo Rey
part. I'm old, but I'm not that old.
But I mean, there's nobody in town except maybe one or two people that were here before it was there. So it's always been part of our life. Mount Cristo Rey is in, actually, New Mexico. But we have one of the guys who knows all about it. His family is inherent in Smelter Town, therefore inherent in Mount Cristo Rey. And we welcome him to the radio station one more time. Ruben Escandon, good morning.
Good morning, Jackson. Good morning, Melissa.
It's always a pleasure, Ruben,
to be here with you.
You're looking professorial when you put your glasses on like that. You can see us.
I can't see you now. So
that's even worse.
That's it.
Well, welcome here, Ruben. Now, Ruben, you've been part of this since you were before you were born, actually. Your family was part of this whole thing, Mount Cristo Rey. Well, give us the story, because in the 30s, that didn't have a statue on it before about 1933-4.
Right around that area. And of course, like you say, my family was involved in because they lived in that Smelter Town area and La Calavera area, so they were the founders and pretty much contributors to the building of Mount Cristo Rey. And I was involved, like you say, probably before I was born.
Yeah,
so
my
parents were up there. My grandparents were up there. So it's been a family tradition that's gone on. And this story goes, and as I have gotten older now, I've learned a lot of stories.
Seasoned.
I've learned a lot of stories from actual family members that tell the story as it actually happened. You know, we hear research that I've done and books that I've read and stuff on Mount Cristo Rey. Everybody has a different take on the story behind Cristo Rey, and You know, the initial story was, of course, Monsignor Lourdes Costa was the parish priest that was assigned there to that church, and that he had a vision looking out the back window of his residence, which is there on the property at the base of Mount Cristory in Smeltertown. And that's always a story that we've been told, and the story that's been written.
The priest had a vision.
Right. He had a vision of a monument built there. And this is, of course, in the 1930s when the Vatican put out a call for the faithful to build monuments and monuments of their faith. So he had this vision and moved on it to pursue building what he envisioned was a statue of Christ on the top of this mountain.
It worked.
It did. You know, he talked about it to the congregation there at the San Jose de Cristo Rey Church. And once, you know, the parishioners got on board, 16 parishioners made the first trek up that mountain to kind of survey and determine what they were going to do.
I bet there was an Iskandone in that group.
Well, there was. You know, one of my uncles that's still around, my Uncle Tony, he actually was an altar boy at that time. And he was part of that group that made the first trek up there.
Now that makes it personal.
It does. You know, and just last year, we were sitting around the breakfast table there with him and went over, actually lunch. I don't get up early, so it's lunch.
Well, you're a busy guy.
And we sat there, and as he turned all of a sudden to me, and he says, "Hey, did I ever tell you the story of how it happened?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "How Mount Cristo Rey came about." And I said, "No, you didn't." I said, "But tell me." And he started telling me the story that he was an altar boy, that the priest at Mass that Sunday, that after he had that vision, he told the congregation what he was going to do, what he envisioned, and that he envisioned this monument of Christ on top of this mountain. And the next morning, they went to they were giving Mass at another location. He was driving down what's probably Paisano and all other altar boys and the priest, and he looked up and he says, "Look up that mountain, boys." He says, "I'm going to put a statue of Jesus up there."
Cool.
And he did. So that's the start of this monument idea that he had.
What year?
1933.
That was 33.
No, 1933.
Well, by 34, they had something big up there.
They did. You know, he said, my uncle was telling me that the story is that the next Sunday, after he started telling people what he was going to do, he went to the lumber yard and brought back a bunch of lumber. And he told the congregation, "Next Sunday, I want the men to stay after church and bring your work clothes." And everybody was wondering what they were going to do. And sure enough, behind the church, he had a pile of lumber, and he drew out what he wanted them to build, and they built a 24-foot wooden cross that they put up there.
Did they build it up there? Or did they?
They built it on the bottom, and they carried it up to the top. Wow. So they carried it straight up the mountain. And you keep in mind, there was no trails at that time.
That's all I want to mention. It was just a line straight up.
That's it. So he got them to build the cross, and then the next Sunday after that, after Mass, is when they made that first descent and went up to the top and planted that first wooden cross. And that cross was there for at least a couple of years before they built an iron cross. At the time, over at ASARCO, they had the vocational school that was there, and he had he asked if they could build an iron cross to replace the wooden cross. So they went back and they built this iron cross a little bit bigger, and they replaced the wooden cross. They brought that one back down and put the iron cross up there, which stood until the new sculpture was completed in 1939.
Where's the iron cross now?
The iron cross?
Yeah.
I don't know where the iron cross is.
How about
is.
The wooden one?
The actual maquette that he built, which was the actual...
The maquette?
Right. The maquette is around. And that is over at San Martin de Porras Church in Sunland Park.
I found a picture of that maquette in a parade in downtown El Paso, like in the 50s or 40s or somewhere back in there. Somebody took it and ran it around downtown. Actually, right. They did a whole Mount Cristo Rey in San Jacinto Plaza one year. Have you seen that picture?
Right,
I did. I've seen that on Facebook. I bet you they can find it, somebody in the archives.
Sure.
But that was a bizarre thing to do. The point is that mountain and that statue and that whole experience has pretty much permeated the Catholic world of El Paso.
It has. It's an icon for the faithful of all over this area. We have people, of course, we're planning and preparing for tomorrow, because tomorrow is the day.
Why we're here.
That's right. And tomorrow we open up the gates at 6 o'clock in the morning for people to start climbing. I've had calls from all over the country asking what time they can start climbing.
Everybody knows your number, right?
Right. Everybody knows my number. It's on the website. It's on Facebook. It's all over the place. So people call. The diocese also, both dioceses refer people to me. And they, of course, give my number out for information.
Okay, 915-252-9840. Okay.
Say that again.
952-9840.
got it. I'll put it on our Facebook page.
It's in lights everywhere.
But everywhere.
So, but so your phone, I think it's been ringing six times since we started this conversation.
Probably has.
I see it going off. But Ruben Escandon is here. His family has been part of Cristo Rey, and you're still part of Cristo Rey because you go up and hang on the mountain all day long.
That's right. Tomorrow morning, probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'll be there.
Wow. And just to get it out of the way, we know there's been some trouble on the mountain this week, but that happens on a regular basis. I mean, it's shocking and surprising, but, like, folks, it's not unusual.
It's not. And unfortunately, it's something that, you know, we can't control. We thought, a control over it the last few years, and then these incidents that happened over in, this past September. We had a family that was assaulted in September and a Border Patrol agent that was assaulted also in September. And then just last week, we had another family that was robbed. These were incidents that used to happen in the past when it was just a free... It is still an open border back there, I guess. There's no fence, so yeah. People make their trek up the mountain on the south side. But it's something that now at least Homeland Security takes care of us at least... I'm sure that they have sensors or cameras or something back there that they can tell.
Yeah, they were saying that they have sensors that run along back in that area, and they have the helicopter patrolling the area, too,
right.
Pretty much. So.
Right. They do provide, and they got involved, you know, very involved, of course, after 9/11. That year after 9/11 that we had the pilgrimage, they deployed 50 or so agents on the backside of the mountain, which they created a human fence.
But traditionally there had been allowing people to come from Mexico to go up the backside to get up on top of Cristo Rey.
Right. Prior to 9/11, they used to let people come up the south side, and they used to join the parishioners on this side.
Yeah.
And the problem was that we had 5,000 parishioners go up on this side, and 7,000 would come back down. So we were wondering where those other 2,000 were from.
Where's the math in this or something?
That's a real Border Patrol issue right there.
It is.
The point being, people should understand that they see the border wall as it's built on Paisano going right up to the Asarco area, and it stops.
Right.
And between Asarco and the other side of over by Anapra, there's like a couple of miles of no fence back there.
Right. And my question was at that time why they left that area open. And the only answer that I've been able to get is that, you know, the funding wasn't there because it's such a treacherous area, the mountain area, that they had to cut a road. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
That's no bigger deal than what they're doing in Arizona.
Exactly. That fence runs from California all the way down to the valley.
Except for a mile and a half behind Cristo Rey.
Right. So what happens is it funnels everybody through to come through there.
And the point is, on a thing like tomorrow, you've got one cop for one bandito, pretty much.
In other words,
the banditos, they don't show up on these days.
No, they know, but
they'll actually get killed.
Yeah. Tonight at midnight, that mountain will be secure. We have Homeland Security, Border Patrol on the backside. We have our deputies that are, you know, volunteers up there that help us out. We have Sunland Park PD. We have New Mexico State Police that's going to volunteer, and Doniana County Sheriff's Department as well.
Don't you have an emergency team too, like a EMT or something also?
We have Border Patrol, is what they call BORTEC, and they're their special
group. Yeah.
Yeah, and they respond out there. We have medical. Sunland Park Fire provides medical assistance, and then this year we have a medical battalion also that's going to be helping us, a bunch of reservists that are going to be out there helping us.
Well, your hike tomorrow will be more secure and taken care of than any time and anywhere in the city almost. Be focused on Mount Cristo Rey tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So we have plenty of coverage out there. We're going to have the traditional injuries that happen, which is twisted ankles, you know, heat exhaustion.
Stay on the trail.
Stay on the trail. Don't take your shortcuts. And be prepared to climb. It is a mountain. People come up there thinking it's just going to be a little walk in the park. It's not that strenuous.
Well, it's a long trek.
You can drive a Jeep up there, which you guys do, but no one else could do that tomorrow because it'd be kind of busy. But yeah, I mean, it's a path that is walkable.
Sure.
But you're going to expend some energy doing this. You got some water up at the top, some food or not?
We sell refreshments up there, water and sodas up there, and we may have some oranges and fruit and snacks up there as well.
I was looking at the website. Now, there's a woman that portrays Maria Guadalupe?
You mean the Virgin Guadalupe?
Virgin Guadalupe. Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you. Is she going to be there tomorrow, or is that just somebody who went one time dressed like
that? No, that was actually from the celebration that we had for the Dia de Virgen de Guadalupe, which was December.
And they do an actual
portrayal there. They do a play up there on the mountain, and this was a church that came from, I believe it was St. Pius. They put on this play, and they had people that went up there, and we actually did it on the mountain, which was pretty cool.
That's neat. Yeah, I mean, where else could you do it? It would be better. That's wonderful.
This whole mountain is a Catholic shrine.
It is. It is owned by the Catholic Diocese of Las Cruces, and, of course, that ownership transferred over to Las Cruces from the El Paso Diocese back in 1982.
That's what changed here, because that used to be an El Paso Diocese.
That's right. And it, you know, we always say that this was built by El Pasoans and for El Pasoans, but unfortunately it sits in New Mexico.
Well, as you said in the video, which we ran a clip of this morning on our 7:30 show, you said, hey, to the bishop up in Las Cruces, he's facing El Paso for a reason.
That's right. We used to kid with Bishop Ramirez all the time, telling him that he's got his back to Las Cruces.
We don't want to make that too intense, but that's for real. All right, we didn't take a break here. Ruben Escandón is in the house, and we're going to be talking more about Mount Cristo Rey. The geology is fascinating. I mean, we took that apart and put it back together on that DVD. It's really interesting to see what that is. A hypobisal andesite Pluton.
There you go.
And we know that because we watched the video a few times. There you go. All right, Melissa, we got some trivial.
Oh, do we?
Trivial. Are you ready for some trivial?
Oh, yes, I'm very trivial. Yes,
okay. Oh, you know, one thing to note on our way into that conversation, though, there's a new video coming out.
Oh, really? What is that all about?
Women's Club of El Paso.
And that's those crazy women.
You know, they're actually editing it this weekend, so we hope they get it done.
Yes. They will get it done on Sunday.
That announcer woman is somebody that's elusive.
I have no idea.
She's hanging out in graveyards again.
Yeah, I know. I'll be recording in the cemetery.
Okay, but this the new video, it's a premiering in November about El Paso history. It's called the Women's Club of El Paso. So a vital force since 1894. And when you start thinking about it, that's a long darn time ago. I produced it, and it's narrated by Melissa, a half-hour documentary featuring the women who helped civilize El Paso, starting in the 1890s. The group of women built their own clubhouse on Mesa Street at River. It's now near downtown. It used to be on the edge of town.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
In 16. Anyway, a century later, they're celebrating the 100th anniversary of that building. The Women's Club of El Paso has actually been a vital force much longer than that, since 1894.
Yeah, and there's a women club. Hello, okay. There's a women's club members only premiere on Wednesday, November 9th at the.
You just left.
I was at the cemetery. They took me over again.
You and Elmer Fudd just took off.
That's right. There's a women's club members only premiere on Wednesday, November 9th. At the club's monthly members-only luncheon meeting, there will be a public showing of the TV documentary and producers talk with Women's Club President Mary Raley, Melissa Sargent, and Jackson Polk on Thursday evening, December 1st, at the El Paso Museum of History at 6 p.m. And that's where the Wall of Giants exhibit of the Women's Club of El Paso is on display.
Well, that's where we're going to show the half-hour video to the public. And the public needs to see this thing, because it's a women's club event. It's all about them. But you got to understand how inherently that women's club had an effect on El Paso.
Incredible group of
humongous.
People.
Humongous. And the women, you're a member.
Yep.
The women still have an incredible effect.
Oh, they're
on
still
this
doing
town.
Some great things.
I mean, it's a heck of a charity they pull
I'm in awe
over.
Of them. Trust
well,
me.
Well, it's been fascinating to almost be a member. They won't let me be one, but I've gotten...
If you'd wear the dress...
Again?
Hey, it is the 21st century.
I'm not sure.
How are you feeling this week?
This is more of a commitment than I was planning, but in the meantime, I got to know the crowd by going to a lot of these meetings and taping all kinds of stuff and realizing, wow, this is a vital force. All right,
yes.
What's the thing here? We got a trivia thing to do here.
We have trivial. Okay, we got trivial. Hey, this is cool. We can do that.
I can't wait to get to the second question. Let's just do the first one.
All right. Who was the Catholic priest who had the vision to put a Christ monument on that mountain?
Who was that priest?
Mount Cristo Rey.
And how do they find out?
How do they find? They can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Power Punch Signs and Printing is your El Paso-based sign and printing company. We offer a variety of sign solutions for your business. So whether you're a startup, moving locations, or you just need to reface your sign, Power Punch Signs and Printing can help you with your electric signs, channel letters, and pole signs. Your sign is your image to El Paso. We can help make it look stunning. Call now and receive 10% off your custom sign. Power Punch Signs and Printing. Signs, banners, commercial printing. 875-1489. PowerPunchPrinting.com. 875-1489.
Did you know that identity theft goes beyond what you can see on a credit report and what your bank can alert you to? Identity thieves can open new accounts in your name, rent or buy properties in your name, drain your 401k, and even file fake tax returns in your name. In fact, there's all kinds of identity theft, beyond what you might expect. That's why LifeLock goes beyond credit monitoring to help protect your identity. We use proprietary technology to alert you to a whole range of threats to your identity. And if there's a problem, one of our U.S.-based specialists will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But with LifeLock, you can feel beyond good knowing someone is looking out for you. Join now and get 60 days risk-free plus 10% off. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code RADIO60. That's promo code RADIO60. LifeLock.
This Halloween, enjoy our tricks and treats with iHeartRadio's Halloween Radio. All your spooky favorites to join you on your door-to-door candy raid.
Nightmare on my street.
And bone-shaking hits for your graveyard parties.
The Monster Man.
The Monster Man.
Halloween Radio on iHeartRadio. Commercial free. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. Search Halloween Radio on iHeartRadio.com or our free iHeartRadio app.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Well, let's see if they were listening. Ask the question again.
Yeah, we're going to punish them. Okay, the trivia question was, who was the Catholic priest, and we talked about him here earlier, who had the vision to put a Christ monument on Mount Cristo Rey?
Something went somewhere. He did it. It was his idea. Well, who was the priest in Smeltertown?
That's right. There you go.
Made that all up. Okay, we've got a caller on hold here. But you know what? I don't think this caller will do trivia here. Randy, you up for trivia today? What are you doing?
Yeah, it's Randy Gishwin.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the women's club thing where my dad, when he was at Austin High School, the different high schools would go to the women's club, and on their dance floor, they would do a demonstration square dance, square type of deal.
Bow to your corner.
The ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Bow to your corner.
Yeah, well, and so the deal was is that they had all these other functions that would happen at the women's club with the kids from the high schools doing these demonstration dances and stuff like this, and they'd put on a show for the ladies at the women's club.
That's cool.
And then in the 1970s, when my friend David McKay's mom, Winona McKay, when she was president of the women's club, we used to have to go in there and do a lot of maintenance and setting up tables and all kinds of stuff because the women's club with the women's auxiliary, or the junior women club auxiliary, what do they call them?
Junior league? Oh, the junior women's club.
The junior league.
It used to be the young matrons or something.
When they were doing the Halloween thing at Bassett Shopping Center and all that was their headquarters too. Was that women's club building?
Well, you know what? And we did a video on this. Is that why you're calling? Because we were talking about it.
I just called in because you know me.
I do.
Keep up with what you guys are doing there, and so I always get a big kick out of the history. So,
let me ask you something. Do you have any pictures? You were talking about the women's club in the old days. Do you have any pictures from that era?
Yes, I do have the pictures of when the demonstration student square dance team from Austin High School went over there and did, because I had my father's, because my father's was doing the calling of the square for that Austin High School square dance team that did their dance at the Liberty Hall.
Well, you know I did that as well. You were a kid in the 60s. I'm thinking I was a kid in the 50s. I actually went over there. With my mother, she was a member.
Yeah, well, you know my family. We grew up only a block apart.
Yeah.
But my dad graduated from Austin High School in 1948. So all these pictures were back around the 1940s.
I think the women's club would love to have those, man. I'll tell you what, let me do this. We've got to move on here. But I'll give you a call during the week. Maybe we can get some of those pictures to look at.
That'd be great. Yeah, scan them.
The archive stuff, they love that stuff.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather, Gishwin, has... You know, he had all those original pictures that they used in the historical El Paso stuff. He saved all that when they had a big things down there in downtown. I got all kinds of historical stuff.
Well, we should talk about this because you can't just leave them in a shoebox, dude. We got to see them.
No, you're right. But From the Channel 7 who did the historical stuff? What was his name? I talked to him on the telephone. My grandfather talked to him on the telephone.
He was talking about the Cubs on a TV last night. Is that you mean the anchorman for Channel 7?
Gary Warner.
Gary Warner.
What was his name?
Gary Warner.
No. It was the historian Leon Metz.
Oh, I heard of him. He used to be on this radio show.
Yeah, you're right. He was there when we did the thing to talk about the A on the mountain and the whole thing and the chimes in the tower and the whole thing. But, yeah, Leon Metz, I had my grandfather talked a lot about stuff going on back in those days at Liberty Hall or the... And then I told him to some stuff about my grandfather.
Well,
right. So
let's do this. Let me get a hold of you during the week. I know how to find you. And let's see about those women clubs pictures, because you know that's where the archives of El Paso are lacking. People have them in shoeboxes all over the place. Well, Randy, I'm going to cut you off here, but thank you. I'll call you during the week. All right.
Sure. Thank you.
You take her easy. Well, Ruben, you and I should talk about this briefly. We got to take another break. But you and I, Ruben Escandón, sitting here for Mount Cristo Rey. All of the guys had shoeboxes like this up on the mountain. The guys who were fixing the mountain, the people who would come up there and do all the work on the trails, every one of them was a family like yours from Smeltertown.
That's right. There's a lot of families that are third, fourth generation now volunteers up there that had pictures of their parents and grandparents of growing up at Mount Cristo Rey. We weren't the only family that did this. There's the Vasquez family, the Castañón family, there's several families that are out there that still help, and they're there. As a matter of fact, they're working on the mountain this morning, and they wanted me to mention about volunteers. You said something about volunteers.
Oh, goodness, yes.
And that's something that we're lacking. The generations are kind of falling behind us now, and the volunteers that were there are now not being able to work and not being able to assist. So we're in need of, in search of volunteers. If you want to help out with Mount Cristo Rey, we meet up there Saturday, Sunday mornings and work for four mm-hmm. or 5 hours. We'll feed you. We'll give you a cold drink. And, you help out whatever we're doing. I mean, this is a constant year-round thing that we do.
Well, you can also give them service hours if they're in, like, a high school or college or whoever needs service hours.
Community service hours. Yeah. We also do that. I fill out a form that we have a form for community service hours. We had... At one time, we had parolees or probationers that went out there that volunteered. We lost all the rakes. I don't know where they went, but that was another story.
Oh, Ruben, you didn't say that. Oh, my God. All right, we're going to take a break and come back, talk to Ruben Escandón some more. But the thing about the mountain is that's a volunteer business. So if you got some time to look at that, take a look. All right, nobody got the trivia, so we're going to take a break and come back and try this one more time. What's that trivia?
Right.
What's the question?
The question is, who was the Catholic priest who had the vision to put a Christ monument on that mountain?
Name the priest? Ray. Is that it?
Yeah, that's all there is.
You want to give out the second question now, which is a little bit easier?
Yeah, let's try
Don't answer this, Ruben.
All right.
Here's the question.
What is the best phone number to call for information about Mount Cristo Rey?
But you got to call us first with that phone number. And what is our phone number?
Our phone number is 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-788-0662 now. That's 800-788-0662 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-788-0662 to learn more. 800-788-0662. That's 800-788-0662. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Question. You can't drive your car without your keys, right? Wouldn't run a marathon without shoes either? Of course not. So why would you want to shave without first preparing your skin in the best way possible? With Shave Secret, it's the preparation, not the blade, that'll give you that clean, close, comfortable shave. Use 4 to 5 drops of Shave Secret in a wet palm and massage in, and the razor glides over skin. Shave Secret helps prevent nicks, cuts, ingrown hairs, bumps, and more for men and women of all ethnic backgrounds. Shave Secret is a terrific conditioner, moisturizer, great for travel, and is economical. You need a parachute if you skydive, right? So check out our 5-star reviews that are sort of like your safety chute. Remember, it's the preparation, not the blade, that's key for a good, close, comfortable shave. Shave Secret, for the best shave ever. Available at HEB, Walmart Supercenters, Navy and Marine Corps Exchanges, Amazon.com, and ShaveSecret.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
Walking through the Terror Trail's darkened ruins as you meander towards the haunted house, hoping that nothing is following or poised to attack you. In the distance, you can hear the screams of the poor souls that are trapped inside. Why are you still walking towards those horrific sounds? You have gone beyond the point of no return. The fear that was in your mind is now a reality. The Terror Trail Haunted House and Zombie Paintball Adventure, 401 Anthony Avenue in Canyatillo. Call us at 915-877-FEAR.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, a lot going on here. We think one trivial person. But in the meantime, let's tell you about some stuff going on. The Phantom of the Opera. Now, this itself is not El Paso history per se, but what they're doing with it. They're showing it with an old-time piano organ theater.
The silent movie version.
It's an organist thing. And so this is going to happen down there at the, where are you people? At Faith Methodist Church, 3500 Pershing. It's the old Asbury Methodist.
Oh, it's a neat church. Yeah.
It really is. Big old gothic thing. And so it's October 29th. That would be tonight.
Yeah.
At 6:30 down there at the church. They've got the organist coming in, the people that play that period music. They're going to, the Grand Ole Opry House and vaudeville houses of El Paso became movie houses after the turn of the century. And orchestra accompanies. And what they're going to do is the Phantom of the Opera. And they're going to run it down there in that church with a live accompaniment.
At Oregon.
Oregon, 240-8384. Call up Prince, 240-8384, and say, I like your music, Prince.
They'd be dressed as the Phantom of the Opera characters. That'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, get the prize right there. All right, what do you got something going on over there?
Yes, another thing. Nothing ever happens in El Paso. Okay, tonight, October 29th, from 7 to 9 p.m., the play in the Philanthropy Theater at the... could you say that?
Philanthropy.
Thank you. Philanthropy Theater.
People who give away money.
Yeah, those people. And it's the Tom Lee play, Grace Note in a Hard World. The one-act play by Camilla Carr dramatizes the early life of El Paso native Tom Lee, and it's based on the book Tom Lee, An Oral History by Adair Margo. The performance focuses on Lee's early life as the mayor's son, his studies at the Art Institute in Chicago, and his apprenticeship to muralist John Norton, and his marriage, of course, to fellow art student Nancy Taylor, stage, film, and television stars Ray Baker and Morgana Shaw star as Tom and Nancy Lee. And tickets are only $25, and if you want to have more information on this, call them at 533-0048. That's the Tom Lee Institute.
A lot going on there. We're going to talk to Doug here on the phone. Hey, Doug, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Doug.
How's your world?
Oh, good, good. I have an answer to the first question.
All righty, go for it. What was the question?
Somebody answered it.
It's been a long time. Melissa.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Who was a Catholic priest who had the vision to put the Christ monument on that mountain?
It was Padre Lourdes Costa.
Aha. You said it right, too.
You are correct. And you get a choice of stuff.
What would you like? Either we have the Pepe's $20 gift certificate or a DVD from a large collection here.
Well, actually, we got Crystal Ray in here this morning. I'd recommend that one if you want something interesting.
Okay.
Otherwise, Pepe's got food. What do you need?
I'll take the DVD about Crystal Ray.
Do that.
Done.
It's an unusual film because it was an unusual event. Ruben Escandona is in here with us this morning. He's the one who said, Jackson, you really need to do a documentary about this mountain. And I said, why? We never answered that question, Ruben.
And the rest of it is history.
Yeah,
but anyway, we did make it. It's an hour long. And just so you know, have you seen the DVD cover? Have you seen our pictures on Facebook, Doug?
No, I haven't.
All right. There's one weird thing we did, and I did it. I managed to catch a sunrise on Crystal Ray with the moon set coming right down behind the monument. And there's only one place on the planet where you can get that shot, and it moves every day. So I took several days to get the shot. But anyway, just to pat myself on the back for a lucky shot, which I did. And so what I did is I put that shot on the bonus material because it's video. And you watch the perfectly framed snow globe look of Crystal.
And it's not Photoshop. That's
it's
the cool
not,
part.
Because then you get to watch it on the bonus material as the moon sets behind the mountain. That's worth the trip right there.
You know, that's been a lot of questions about that. A lot of people have asked me if that was Photoshopped and how we made that. And I tell them a story, and they don't believe it. You know?
Well, it took me 2 months to do it. I went out there 1 month, and I missed it completely. So, you know, full moon's gone. Try it again next month. So I went back out. I thought I was going to get it from I-10. That's actually too far away. So I was actually in a spot that is now becoming concrete for the border highway. So I don't think you're going to get that shot again. different time of year, slightly different angle. Anyway, enough of this. Doug, you got yourself a prize there. Thanks for ringing up. Would you like to try the second question?
No, I don't think so. No.
Coward.
Not even try it?
Coward.
I'm going to give you a something else for free.
No, it's okay.
All right, dude. Nobody else is calling. That's why.
Thanks for listening.
Hold on here. Appreciate you calling. Shelley will come on and tell you how to pick that up. Shall we just give Ruben the second prize?
We could do that.
Okay, what was the question?
The question was, what is the best phone number to call for information about Crystal Ray?
It's Ruben's phone number.
That's right.
What's the answer, Ruben?
915-252-9840.
And you get the prize.
We're such a sad group of people.
As long as it's food, I'm good.
I got one. Well, I don't know, man. I got to give it two away next week, Ruben. I don't know. I'll buy you lunch out there.
There you go.
Anyway, got to move on here. Shall we take a break here, Sergio? Or should we not take a break here? Don't take a break here. I want to talk to Ruben about
talk to
the
him.
Stuff because he and I put the video together. I'm the video guy, but Ruben knew where everything was. And so as we were going through this, the 2006 major flood of El Paso happened.
That's right.
Blew away that mountain. Tell them what happened.
During that time, of course, the floods hit, and it devastated Mount Crystal Ray and the trails up there. We went up there a few days afterwards, and, I mean, the trails themselves were washed out.
You could barely walk.
Yeah, you could barely walk. The rocks were were just exposed, you know, from the topsoil that was just completely washed out. There were some areas. Over the years, we've built up retaining walls, and we've built culverts for the water to run off, and with those floods in 2006, it overwhelmed the retaining walls and just washed everything out. So it took a major, major effort to restore it to its initial condition, and that's when you came around. We started doing that, and we focused part of that damage to the video itself.
Yeah.
And the one thing that people need to understand is that we're not funded by anybody. This is a completely volunteer thing.
You got a bucket out front, and that's about it.
That's right. You know, we the mountain is owned by the Diocese of Las Cruces, and the diocese has control over what we do, but they pretty much grant us the authority to do what we need to do to maintain it. You know, and of course, we have a new bishop in Las Cruces, Bishop Cantu. He's been really good about helping us in any way that we can, but anything that we do is pretty much on our own. So funding comes from the work that we do, the fundraisers that we do, and then we used to ask for the donations and take the donations from that mass, because when the pilgrimage gets up to the top of the mountain on tomorrow at Sunday, we have a mass at 12 o'clock, and whatever collection was taken up, that's what pretty much our budget was for the rest of the year.
Wow.
So during the year, of course, Jeeps needed maintenance and, you know, fixing of this and fixing of that. We just took I don't know how many tons of screening to fix the trail, and we're probably over $5,000 in the hole right now because of what we've done to repair it to get it ready for tomorrow. The Jeeps, the railings, there's different we've installed railings to try to make it safer. We've tried, you know, different things, and it's all on a volunteer basis, so it's all by donations.
Well, how do I get a donation to you? I mean, again, call you,
or
is there...
You can give me a check.
I'm going to give you a check today. Everybody else has to give a check.
She actually is.
All right.
But
there's my check.
The question I would have is, what would it take for every person walking up there tomorrow to bring a dollar and just put it in a bucket?
Let's say tomorrow our average participation is 15,000 to 18,000 people. You know, tomorrow the weather's going to be beautiful. The construction on I-10 is maybe a concern because there's one way in and out.
Bring a dollar.
So if there's 18,000 people up there, if everybody gives $1, that's $18,000 that we have to
bring
work
a dollar.
With.
Or even just a spare change in your pocket. But a dollar would be wonderful. Or
bring $2.
More. You
right.
wouldn't
and
be
there's some
that
people
proud.
That do that come out there.
$3.
But there's people that expect this as part of... I don't know. You know, they think that because they're there that we have an obligation to do this.
Oh, you owe it to them.
Well, we owe it to them, you know, and we don't. They go to a church bazaar or they go to a family event somewhere and they spend $50-$60 and they can't drop a dollar in the bucket.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It is frustrating.
So what do you got to do? Set up some beanbag things out there and say, hey, it's a carnival.
No. You know, that's another thought that maybe you do it as you know, they want to get something physically back, you know, and that's okay. But I mean, if you're out there, you're out there for a purpose. Hopefully the purpose is to come out there to give thanks, to pray, to make the climb.
It's
you're
a spiritual thing.
It's a spiritual thing.
Oh, my, yeah.
But bring a dollar. Throw a dollar in the bucket for whoever comes out there. A dollar per person would help us out a lot. Where it's not a requirement. If you're not going to give it, we're not going to, you know, stand you on your head and shake it out of you.
You're thinking about it, though.
Well, I tell you what, you know, sometimes...
Now, who would they make the check out to?
Mount Crystal Ray Restoration Committee.
There you go. That's a perfect name.
And that's who, you know, that's the accounts are under that and what we do. But that's the one thing that, you know, all this... support for Mount Crystal Ray comes from the actual volunteers. Oftentimes, we fund a lot of the things. We have a lot of donors that do help us out with water donations and you know, beverages and Gatorade. Sometimes they go out there and feed us when we're working up there.
Well, I remember in the past, Stanley Job had some property over there. He would take a grader, or somebody would take a grader.
Well, the Camino Real landfill now.
Oh, the landfill did it.
They've been doing it for several years now.
The grader road out front.
Right. Juan Carlos out there takes his crew out there, and they grade the road, and then they grade the parking lots as well, which makes it really easy. And, you know, we try to make it comfortable for people to go out there, so it's... Should be something that they consider giving a
it's
dollar.
It's a day. It's an event.
It is.
That's a great event to go to. I mean, it's so important. And then the next one is in December, correct?
Is it?
Well,
You'll
have Celebration of the Mountains. At Celebration of the Mountains, we do the December, the Sun Bowl hike.
The Sun Bowl hike.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We try
See,
to coordinate
don't,
it.
Don't
you know,
scare
Randy,
me.
Lindbergh and I get together and we try to coordinate around the game.
Either Bishop, they throw another hike at you once in a while. Oh,
right.
We're going to go
September,
save somebody.
We had the Hike for Life, and then
there
we have different groups, different church groups, and we open it up to whoever wants to come. Next Tuesday, we have a group going up from Cathedral High School. They have a border immersion program that they have students from all over the country that are coming in to Cathedral to study the border.
Cool.
And as part of what they're doing, we're taking them up on Tuesday morning. So different groups that call us, if it's and especially if it's a Catholic, you know, church organization or even any church, we do several. St. Clement's has a climb.
Oh, they're big.
Yeah.
Well, St. Clement's usually comes around on Good Friday,
right?
From what I remember.
Right. And the Good Friday hike is now the second largest.
It's
because,
huge.
Yeah, we have 10,000 people that climb up there.
Okay, this should be a national monument of some kind, but it's actually a Catholic shrine. Is there any potential for it to become a government thing?
I seriously doubt it unless I win the lottery and
there you go.
Buy the mountain off the
and
diocese.
It'll be Rubens Mountain.
There you go.
And that would probably be a good idea. You know, there's been all kinds of talk over there, a tramway going to the top. Oh, my
God. Well, no, there's people that have ideas, you know. And the thing is that mountain, first and foremost, has to be secured. You know, if we could revisit the fence going up behind it, then, you know, we would do whatever we need to do to support it.
Wasn't Beto O'Rourke all gung-ho to get the fence done, but that's out of his jurisdiction?
Right.
Make it his problem.
Well, you know, it's a conversation Beto and I need to have, and maybe with his help we can get something done. But that's a major concern, that there's an open border on the backside, and we need to secure that mountain. You know, my initial thoughts when this fence was coming up, everybody was up in arms because of immigration. I have nothing to do with immigration, and for my purposes is the security and safety of Mount Crystal Ray.
Yeah.
And the people that go up there.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, where is the border of Mexico? Is it at the base of the mountain, or does it go up a certain percentage on the
base of the mountain, it's about
side.
300 yards south. And there used to be a monument like it was Monument 3, I believe, that's out there, and they knocked it over. I guess it was
vandalized
as well.
Do you know where the confusion was? If you go to Google Earth, it has a line right on the base of the mountain. So the Google Earth is wrong. That's
so it's 300 yards south
away.
Of the
south.
Base of the mountain.
Yeah,
right.
It's not on the base at all.
Okay.
So there. All right, we're going to take a break, come back in a minute, talk a little bit more to Ruben and about things on Mount Cristo Rey. Call us up if you like.
At 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Did you know that identity theft goes beyond what you can see on a credit report and what your bank can alert you to? Identity thieves can open new accounts in your name, rent or buy properties in your name, drain your 401k, and even file fake tax returns in your name. In fact, there's all kinds of identity theft beyond what you might expect. That's why LifeLock goes beyond credit monitoring to help protect your identity. We use proprietary technology to alert you to a whole range of threats to your identity. And if there's a problem, one of our U.S.-based specialists will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But with LifeLock, you can feel beyond good knowing someone is looking out for you. Join now and get 60 days risk-free plus 10% off. Go to LifeLock.com and use promo code RADIO60. That's promo code RADIO60. LifeLock.
Power Punch Signs and Printing is your El Paso-based sign and printing company. We offer a variety of sign solutions for your business. So whether you're a startup, moving locations, or you just need to reface your sign, Power Punch Signs and Printing can help you with your electric signs, channel letters, and pole signs. Your sign is your image to El Paso. We can help make it look stunning. Call now and receive 10% off your custom sign. Power Punch Signs and Printing. Signs, banners, commercial printing. 875-1489. PowerPunchPrinting.com. 875-1489.
Bring home the fun.
Play casino games on your PC.
These are the same games you play at the casino.
But you can play them at home.
To get you started, here's an offer that'll save you 40% off your entire order.
Go to Phantom EFX. Choose your games and enter promo code iHeart at checkout.
PhantomEFX.com. Promo code iHeart at checkout.
Play casino games at home.
And save 40% at PhantomEFX.com. Promo code iHeart.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we're back here. If my brother's listening, we need some videos.
Hey, Bernard.
Yeah, so call up Shelley at the station, 544-5876, and talk to her about how you're going to get us some videos. Ruben wants to buy videos right now.
That's right.
And if he's Mr. Cristo...
Videos, can have some tomorrow.
Okay,
yeah, so you can buy them and see it if you can. You know.
That's right. So have my brother call in Shelley, and the idea is he needs to bring some videos, Ruben will buy them. See, when you say buy them, my brother will probably do it. It's just the way he is. All right, but to the reality of where we are, you got anything to read there that's just pressing?
Yes, I do.
What do you got?
We have to some really good friends of ours, and if you want to see some really great historic pictures, and they're taken of old El Paso in New Mexico, and there are a ton of them, you need to get over to Facebook's Remember in El Paso When, and they've got over 27,000 people that are members of that Facebook page, and people post pictures. It's really, really great. And the administrators are Barbara Given-Bainey, Mario Robles, Margaret D. Smith, Fred Wiltlox, and Jim Carlton. Then there's one more I want to mention, too, is the El Paso and the Surrounding Area Way Back When. More wonderful pictures, and that's by Mark Lindell.
A lot of stuff going on there. Real quick to let you know, tomorrow evening, Sunday the 30th at 5:30 p.m., Trost the Block.
Trost the Block.
Join us for a bike ride, Trost Tour, coloring on Sunday at 5:30 p.m. They got coloring books.
for adults and for kids.
I wonder how, after three or four bar pub crawls, what that book looks like. But they're going to start at Pioneer Plaza, across from the Plaza Theater, and at the International Bar for some beers and coloring.
And the weather's going to be perfect
how,
for it.
How 90s or 100s or 2010s?
I just want to see how they're going to pedal after they come out of the bar.
Well, it doesn't matter. Just pour
public
them in a,
intoxication on a bicycle.
Pour them in a bag or something. All right, Ruben Escandon, you're the man that people go to for information about Mount Cristo Rey. You're part of the Institute of Mount Cristo Rey from Smeltertown. Your family still lives in Calavera.
My dad still does, and he's still there.
So you're part of the, you're inherently a Cristo Rey dude. And I hope we've done you some good this morning. The whole idea is to tell people what it's like on the mountain. If you haven't been, take a hike. This is the time to do it. Because this hike tomorrow, starting what, 6 a.m. or 5 a.m.?
We open up the gates at 6 o'clock.
6?
Right, 6 a.m. and we close the gates at 2. So you can still climb, but we pretty much will be off the mountain by that time. After Mass at 12, everybody makes their way down. So we encourage people to climb. This is the opportunity that you have to climb. Other than that, you know, people call me and we tell them that we do not advise them to climb on their own, especially with the incidents that have happened recently.
And those aren't going to stop.
No, they don't. You know, and I've always said it's very sad that we have such a beautiful monument, such an icon to our faith and the people here of El Paso in this area, and that we can't enjoy it, you know, at our leisure. You know, it'd be great to have it as a park, you know, as a national park or even as a state park that we could have actual people there, rangers like we do, you know, they do out at Waco Tanks or anywhere else. So it's something that, of course, we can definitely do.
Well, that's the thing tomorrow, and it starts early, and the Mass is at noon.
Right. We open up the gates at 6. The pilgrimage, actually, with the bishop starts at 10 o'clock, so they start making their way up at 10.
They do the stations.
They do the Stations of the Cross, and incidentally, there was 3 stations that were damaged and vandalized. They were actually stolen from the mountain here just a month ago, so we had to rebuild those. So there's 3 stations that are going to be brand new out there. And we encourage people to make the walk, bring comfortable shoes, dress in layers just in case the weather turns, but it's going to be a beautiful day. The one thing, too, please do not bring your pets. Dogs, pets are not allowed on the mountain. You will be turned back, and we've had too many incidents with dog fights. We've had too many incidents with people not cleaning up after their pets.
No horses either.
Well, the horse patrol is out there. The Border Patrol, horse patrol hopefully will
be
out there.
But they get the horses, you don't.
Right. They clean up after the horses, too, so that's good.
Well, that's an interesting mountain. I have been all over it. Just to quickly state for people, the hypabyssal andesite pluton, what is that?
That is a pimple that never popped.
Oh, my God. You had to say it that way. That is exactly how Eric Kappas talks about it.
That's right.
And he's the one
that
found it.
Dr. Goodell is the one that told us about that.
Oh, my God. Well, the whole point is it's a movement of magma from the center of the earth that got up to the top and pushed up, but never came out.
That's right.
And so that never coming out would have made it a volcano if it had.
And that action is actually what uncovered the dinosaur footprints that we have in the area. So this whole area is unique. Of course, you mentioned Eric Kappas, the UTEP student who discovered these dinosaur tracks all over the area.
And the whole thing about him is he wasn't looking for them.
No, the story says that he was in trouble, and they made him go sit down by himself, and that's when he found it.
Get a timeout, and he stares at this wall, and that's the whole point. They're on a wall
because
they were pushed up from the center.
They're inverted. You're seeing the bottom of the dinosaur's footprint versus a regular down impression.
Right.
There are some of both ways.
Yeah.
Right. It's an unusual area. And then the fossils, there's a whole section of fossils over there. So maybe at some point, if there could be a sort of more organized mechanism to run the mountain, all kinds of things could be explored over there.
That's it.
And the monument's one of them. And that's the thing in December. That hike is the one to go on to learn the history. It's a history hike. It's not a religious hike.
Right.
And that's the one done by El Paso Scene, Randy Limbert. And we'll be talking about that more here as well. And you'll be in the middle of that, right?
Right.
Ruben Escandon, thank you kindly, sir. How's your dad doing, by the way?
He's doing good. Shout out to my dad and all the older volunteers. Our mechanic turns 82 years old. He's
the one
that works on our Jeeps.
Oh, boy.
You know, so we've got
all the Jeeps are that old.
All the elders are, you know, they're still out there. My dad will be out there tomorrow. He said he's feeling good to go out there tomorrow, so he'll be selling soft drinks there at the bottom, so come out and say hi.
And you want to meet some of the pioneers.
That's it.
Go say hello to these guys.
Learn about it and help out. I mean, come on, people, get off your tail. Get out there and help them.
Definitely.
All right, we're done for this hour, Ruben. Thanks so much. We're going to talk next hour about James Wiley McGoffin. He saw Mount Cristo Rey before it had a monument.
That's right.
We know that. We're sure of that. All right, see you next hour right after the news.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.